Sonic Frontiers turns 3 years old this year, and personally, this is my favorite Sonic game. It's flawed, it has issues, but I do think that the positive aspects of this game overall outweigh the negatives. But nowadays, it seems that not a lot of people agree with that statement. When Frontiers launched, it was widely considered to be a turning point for the franchise, after a decade full of missed potential and identity crises. Sonic Frontiers provided fans with hope for the future of the series, and the sales especially reflect that. Frontiers quickly became one of the best-selling Sonic games. General reception wasn't perfect, but the overall consensus was that Frontiers was a good Sonic game, and it was a good step in the right direction that the series desperately needed at the time. As time went on, however, the idea that Sonic Frontiers was a good step in the right direction became increasingly disagreed upon. At one point, Sonic Frontiers was considered by many to be one of the best, but in recent times, I've seen a lot of people say that it was actually one of the worst Sonic games. Now, before we get into this video, I understand it may seem like I'm trying to invalidate people's negative opinions on this game, but I assure you that is not my goal. It is perfectly okay to have whatever opinion on the game you have. If you like it, cool. If you dislike it, also cool. And if you at one point liked it but have grown to dislike it, that is also perfectly fine. This video is meant to kind of take a more analytical approach, I guess, to the things that led to the quote-unquote switch-up on Sonic Frontiers, and how I think Sega could prevent something like this from happening for future releases. If you're at all involved with the Sonic fandom, you're likely no stranger to the term honeymoon phase. It happens with pretty much any game. The hype surrounding its release and the positive reception often clouds any valid criticism of the game. So a lot of people kind of, I guess, gaslight themselves into liking the game. I don't really like that way of putting it, because again, it's completely valid to have whatever opinion you want on the game, but there is something about the initial hype surrounding a new release clouding your judgment of whether you actually like the game or not. For me, it kind of happened with Super Mario Bros. Wonder. I initially thought that game was a masterpiece, but after playing the game more, I realized that it wasn't actually that good, and my initial enjoyment really stemmed from the fact that we didn't have a new 2D Mario game in such a long time. But when looking at the Frontiers hype cycle, it actually wasn't that perfect. Initially, the game actually didn't look that good in the eyes of many. It wasn't until later in the hype cycle that people were actually starting to warm up to the game. So I guess in this case, pre-release, the game started looking better and better over time, which I guess led a lot of people to enjoy the game based on that alone, which again goes hand in hand with the quote-unquote honeymoon phase. But it's when that phase ended that people started to change their minds about the game. As time went on, more issues started to become more apparent. That, along with two other external factors, I think ultimately contributed to the public opinion shifting. First, there are the actual underlying issues of Frontiers that were overlooked at launch. A lot of these issues were pointed out and discussed, like the pop-in, the art style, all of those things were floating around Sonic discussions even prior to launch, but things that were widely praised at launch, like the gameplay, the story, the writing, and things of that nature, were also critiqued. People who once praised Frontier's story for finally breaking the meta-era writing curse that was carried on until Forces were now critiquing things like the over-serious tone, the overabundance of references, and the characterization not being as good as they remembered. All of those opinions are perfectly valid, and it's completely understandable why something like that happened. Frontiers was different, and it was better than what we had previously, but many fans equated better with good, and over time, it became apparent that Frontiers' issues were more drastic than what we once thought. And I actually agree. As someone who still loves Frontiers, there are a lot of issues in the game that I think really hinder the experience that I either overlooked or disregarded when it came out because I was just happy we had a good Sonic game again. Things like the cyberspace physics, the random platforming sections, and the fact that the bosses are pretty shallow and lacking any sort of gameplay substance. I was able to disregard those things because I was just having fun with the game. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think these issues also become more apparent when we got more Sonic games. Shadow Generations is the big one because it's a fully new 3D Sonic game. On a much smaller scale, yes. But one thing that I immediately noticed was that Shadow Generations was actually very polished compared to Frontiers. It didn't really have any significant issues outside of the game just being a little too short for my liking. But this game didn't have anything wrong with it outside of preference. It improved on so many aspects of Frontiers. The linear level design, the animation, the art direction, all of those things were just implemented so much better here. And when going back to Frontiers after playing Shadow Gens, I can admit that it was kind of jarring. It felt weird. It wasn't the Frontiers I remembered playing at launch, because Shadow Gens was just that much better in terms of quality. And that's not even mentioning the content updates that Frontiers got. The Spin Dash being one of the greatest additions to the game completely changes how you play it. But when playing without the Spin Dash, which we all did at launch, the game is not nearly as fun. Yet again, that makes a lot of Frontiers' issues a lot more visible. So then it brought up a discussion of whether Frontiers was really the best move for the series. And then that's where the fandom discussion comes in. I think we can all agree that there is a lot of discourse surrounding Sonic Frontiers, and I personally think it's become one of the most divisive Sonic games. Again, this game is different. It's different from anything we have ever seen in the series, so naturally, discussion would be a lot more active surrounding it, because this is apparently the future of the franchise. But of course, with that discussion comes a lot of toxicity. Now, in an ideal world, you should not let anyone skew your opinions on things like this just because they're being annoying about it. But at some points, man, the fandom factor of it all really does affect your overall enjoyment of a game. It's natural. It happens all the time. It happens with me with certain things. This is not me trying to overgeneralize or anything, but I do agree that both Frontiers fans and non-Frontiers fans do have subsets of people that ultimately turn people away from the game with how they act. This is not to say that criticism of the game is bad, obviously, but in certain cases, for me at least, there have been communities that I've stayed far away from because of how people act within them and how they fail to respect other people's opinions. So with all of that in mind, what can be done to prevent the public opinion from switching like this for the next Sonic game? As for the fandom stuff, I already made a full video talking about that, so I won't be repeating any of it here. But long story short, just respect each other's opinions and be cool about it. But as for the other stuff, I think there are a couple of steps that Sega could take. Number one, let this next game reach its fullest potential and have a clear goal in mind. I feel like with Frontiers, a lot of the game's issues came from different aspects of its development changing all the time. The game was once empty, with not a lot to do besides fighting enemies, so they added a bunch of platforming sections, ultimately completely overhauling the gameplay loop. I don't want something like that happening again, and if it does happen, allow the developers to actually fully flesh out that new idea. Secondly, when advertising the game, don't start by showing the worst footage you could possibly show. That IGN footage from June of 2022 did absolutely nothing to give anybody a great impression of this game. It wasn't until more trailers came out that the game actually started looking pretty decent. So just don't do whatever that was, please. Also, let our expectations actually be realistic. I'm not saying show us everything the game has to offer, obviously don't do that, but make it clear from the start what the game is about and what it has to offer to the player gameplay-wise, and then go from there. I think if this next Sonic game improves upon all of those things, Sega can ultimately restore trust within the fanbase, and I really hope that happens, because Sonic, right now, is on a very good track. So with all of that said, Frontiers being more hated than it was at launch is all due to multiple factors. But thankfully, I truly believe that all of those factors can be fixed. Sonic Frontiers, whether you like it or not, is a taste of what's to come for the future of this franchise. And I think collectively, whether you like Frontiers or not, we should all look forward to what this next Sonic game has in store, or at the very least, be open to what it has to offer. I'm telling y'all, I think we're going to see it announced at the Game Awards this year. I really think so. But that's all for me. Thank you all so much for watching, and I'll see you all later. Goodbye.